Welcome back to another episode of Sleep Whispers. I'm Harris, and this is a podcast of whispered ramblings and also some whispered readings to help you to relax and fall asleep. This is episode number 17, and the whisper menu includes a curious quote about the opinion of others. And the meta chat is chock full today. I'll be talking about an ASMR fundraiser, some new equipment I got for podcasting, a couple of emails, a review, and as usual, I'll share some comments which I received from a survey response, and then we'll finish up with the fade out, which is somewhat similar, or I guess it's kind of the topic is similar to last time. This fade out is going to be me reading a long list of the names of chocolate bars and their descriptions. If you are a new listener, welcome. Email for the podcast is sleepwhispers@gmail.com. The website is sleepwhispers.com. And there's a bunch of neat stuff on there if you want to check it out. And show notes for each podcast episode has time codes for each of the major sections of the podcast. So that can help you if you want to jump to a certain part of the podcast. Now for the curious quote. This is where I flip through my journal of quotes I've collected, and I pick one out, and I share why it means something to me. And tonight's quote is, "When we are young, we generally estimate an opinion by the size of the person that holds it. But later, we find that this is an uncertain rule, for we realize that there are times when a hornet's opinion disturbs us more than an emperor's." And that quote is another one by Mark Twain, and it's from An Undelivered Speech. just know enough about myself to know that the reason it jumped out to me is because I was a very compliant child. I always did what I was told, and I assumed that it truly was best for me. But as I got older, I realized that there are plenty of adults and people in positions of authority who don't really know what is best for me. They may be coming from a real misguided place, meaning, you know, like their intentions of why they may want me to do something may have nothing to do with it being beneficial to me, and there's lots of reasons for that. So today, it is people who care for me, like true friends and genuinely loving family members whose opinions I care about the most. And I guess, I mean, that's obvious. It's probably that way for most people. But maybe for me it was something I struggled more with, you know, realizing where the most important opinions really come from. This podcast is sort of an example. A negative critique from another podcaster or someone who writes reviews about podcasts would not disturb me as much as a negative critique from you. Your perspectives are so much more valuable and meaningful. They are to me, but inherently so, because you're a regular listener. So, whoever's doing this podcast, or whoever's doing any podcast, really should value the opinion of their regular listeners. And I guess that's kind of obvious also. I just think there's fields, at least, where this isn't so obvious and you think it would be, like the business world. I think there are plenty of businesses that fail because they don't truly listen to their clients. They just seem to make decisions themselves Or maybe they're following orders they've been given from high up. And they seem to do it sometimes without asking how their clients may be affected, or if their clients wanted that change. In a way, all this seems obvious to me now. I know as a kid it didn't, you know, of whose opinion you listen to. And so maybe there's people in the business world or other fields who never broke out of that kind of thought process. Anyway, I'm learning as I get older that there is some value in everyone's opinions, but the value of the opinion is not, for me, is not correlated to the power or authority of the person given that opinion. I think my aim is to associate the value of the opinion with the intention and the heart of that person. I'm done rambling. I'm gonna move on to the meta chat. And the meta chat is feedback from you and or updates and information from me. Somehow related to this podcast. So tonight I'm going to be talking about an ASMR fundraiser, some new podcasting equipment I have, emails, review, and comments from one of the surveys. So I want to first tell you about a fundraiser, and I created a special recording for this fundraiser, which just launched yesterday, a while ago. I saw a post on Reddit. The post was inviting ASMR artists to create exclusive content for a fundraiser which would help neglected children. So I recorded a special fade out and I sent it to them. Fundraiser just went live yesterday, which, which may not be your yesterday, depending on when you're hearing this, but it will have launched for sure by the time you hear this. So I went to the website. And I'm going to read you how they explain the purpose of the fundraiser, and it's a couple of paragraphs. So I'm going to read it into each microphone. Here's what it says. Hey y'all. A whole bunch of other content creators and I have teamed up to support an amazing nonprofit organization called Pajama Program. By donating to this fundraiser, as a thank you, you'll be emailed a link to a secret YouTube playlist of ASMR videos that were provided especially for this fundraiser. These are videos that aren't publicly available on YouTube. You can only access them via this direct link, and they're all ad-free. Pajama Program has spent the past 15 years providing new pajamas and books to children in homeless shelters, group homes, and foster care throughout the United States. Many of these children have been abandoned, abused, or neglected. Most of these children have never enjoyed the comfort of having a parent tuck them in at bedtime. These two simple gifts of pajamas and books let the children know that someone cares. Sometimes these are the only new things they have ever received. Since so many of us in the ASMR community use ASMR videos as part of a comforting bedtime routine, I think that this charity, one that brings children in need of a little comfort at bedtime, is one that we can all pretty easily find a place in our hearts for. The secret thank you playlist currently has videos from 16 different ASMR artists, and there may be more on the way. I hope you'll consider making a donation to this fundraiser. It's been so exciting to work on a project where ASMR viewers and content creators can gather as a community to do some good in the world together. Love, Jellybean Green. So I truly thought that this was an amazing fundraiser, and the artist who organized this, Jellybean Green, she really nailed on the head how this is so suitable for the ASMR community. know, you probably noticed that they were asking for videos, and it was mostly, it really was targeted at YouTube artists. So I asked her if she wanted, you know, audio-only content, and she said yes, so she was happy to receive it. So right now, I'm the only podcaster in the group, and my video is a image, just a, you know, a static image of my cover art, and then you hear my audio, the recording I did was a reading of The Hidden Children by Robert William Chambers. It is like 1 hour long, and the intro explains why I chose to do that as a reading. If you are interested in visiting the fundraiser website, I put a link in the show notes of this episode, and there is a link to the fundraiser on my website. And now I have an update about my equipment I use to record this podcast with. I really enjoy doing this podcast, except for one part. Editing. I don't enjoy the editing. It is the only moment at which that little thought of like pod fading enters into my brain of like, do I really want to do this? And of course I do, but I don't like the editing. So my goal has been over the past week or so is to improve it, make changes to make the editing easier, so that way I don't dread that part of the podcast. And I know some of you are interested in creating your own podcasts, so I'm also going to explain the three major parts of podcast production for me, because I also just don't want to focus. I don't want you to hear me just go on all about being negative about the editing without you hearing how much I enjoy the majority of the production process. So the first major part is preparation. So this takes me about 1 to 2 hours, and I enjoy this part, because this is where I go through my quote book, and I get to select a quote, and I'm not doing them like chronological, because I like picking out words that have more meaning to me. Like not all my quotes, not all the quotes in the book have this deep meaning to me. Sometimes they're just a little bit funny, or they're too repetitive. So I try to find like a variety of quotes, so that way I'm not always talking about the same topic. And I enjoy that, because I really enjoy snuggling up with my quote book and just reading through it. It's so inspirational to just read through it. And then I usually have a hard time deciding. I'll get it down to several. So I like that part. And then I check my emails and see if there's, some email feedback that I want to share. And I check the iTunes store to see if there's any reviews. And then I pull out the comments from a survey. And I kind of just drop all that into a outline, so that way it reminds me what to talk about. I mean, if I didn't have an outline, I'd really ramble. It'd be so bad. So that's the first major step. So three parts. The first part is preparation. The second part is the recording. And I enjoy this, like right now, when I'm talking and I'm sharing. I like this. I don't often get a chance to be so expressive and so open on a day-to-day basis. If you write in a diary or a journal, then you know how that feels, of just being able to express your thoughts kind of freely. And that's how this feels to me. So I really enjoy the whole time when I'm recording. So that's the second part of my podcast production. So then after I record is the third part, and that's the editing. And the editing can take at least 1 hour, and sometimes up to 3 hours, and that may surprise you. It would be great if I could just take the raw recording and send that out to you, but there's two problems with that. One is, I can be a perfectionist. That's part of it. So I don't know if it's two. I think it's just one, with one major reason, with a lot of nuances to it. So I can be a perfectionist, and when I have a vision for something, I want it to really meet that vision. And so the vision that I have for the recording is that it must be relaxing, and not just with the words I'm saying, tone, and everything I purposely put into the podcast. But where I get really concerned about is all the sounds that I don't purposely put in the podcast. So it can be things like if I bump the microphone. I think I even hear a stray sound right now. But if I bump the microphone, then I have to go back and I have to find that bump and I delete that out, because I visualize when you're listening to this that you're really relaxed and you're just getting deeper and deeper into a relaxation. So if I leave a microphone bump in the middle of that, that could jar you out. Sometimes dogs barking get into my recording, and my microphones pick up dogs barking. So I have to go back and find that and edit that out. And it could be throat gurgles, stomach sounds, just strange sounds can get in there. Or I could move my seat around and then you hear that creak sound. Anyway, the point being, hopefully you haven't heard a lot of that, because I go through and I try to edit out all those distracting, annoying, stray sounds. Now, what I usually don't edit is if I blunder when I'm talking, because you've probably heard me do that. I'll start saying something and change my mind, or I accidentally say the wrong word and I'll just correct myself. But that's for the like the beginning of the podcast. I think that kind of fits the style of the podcast. But when I get to the fade out, this is where I really visualize that you might be going into the deepest sleep. Not the deepest sleep, but the deepest relaxation, and you might be just on the verge of falling asleep, and you're really tuned into those words and the rhythm of my words. And if I make a vocal blunder in the fade out, then I usually do go back and I fix that. So I re-record it, and I yank out the blunder, so that way what you hear is more of, I don't want to say a perfect recording, but just, without me tripping over my words. But that's only for the fade out. Now, all that may sound like I'm just complaining, but I'm telling you that because I'm excited, because I made some changes that's going to make editing so much easier, so I don't have to dread all that editing. So one thing I did was I bought two, they're called scissor arms. So these hold the microphones. Anytime in a TV show or a movie, they show that classic scene of like a radio DJ, someone in a recording studio, and they're sitting at a desk with a microphone on this long, adjustable, mechanical arm. Well, I bought two of those, and now my microphones are on those long boom arms, and now they pick up a lot less of my bumps and my vibrations, because one part of the boom scissor arm, there really needs to be a shorter term for that, is a shock mount. So that's going to absorb some of the vibrations. And then I used to have them on like these little microphone stands that were near my hands and arms. And so that would lead to, you know, inadvertent bumping. And you'd think I'd learn. Yeah, well, what I learned was I have to get them out of the way. So I'm hoping these two boom scissor arms lead to a lot less mic bump sounds. And then that's going to save me a bunch of editing time. I also bought two new microphones. The microphones I was using before were condenser microphones. And those are super sensitive. And so those were picking up things like barking dogs and my stomach sounds and my feet shuffling on the floor and just all these little tiny background sounds that I then had to go and edit out. So now I've switched to dynamic microphones, and these are much better at, they're very sensitive also, but only for a short range. So as long as, you know, my head is close to the microphone, then they're very good, but they shouldn't pick up as many stray sounds, which means less editing, yay. And then finally, I also bought two inline microphone preamps. Now, I had never heard of these things, but I was listening to another podcast about podcasting. I've been doing a lot of that lately, you know, trying to make whatever improvements I can to my podcast. And so this other podcast was talking about equipment for podcasting. And he explained these things called inline microphone preamps. And what they do is they sort of make a dynamic. Oh, see, I'm not an audio engineer, so I'm struggling to explain this. Alright, here's how I understand it. The problem with dynamic microphones is they're not as strong as condenser microphones. So, for them to pick up my voice as well as the condenser did, I have to turn up the, it's called the gain, you know, or the volume, you know, for it to draw my voice. But when you do that, it adds a lot of the internal noise of the microphones, of your cables, of your mixer, of your recorder. All that stuff gets amplified along with your voice. And then your recording just doesn't sound as good unless you have inline microphone preamps. I'm so putting you to sleep with all this, I know. But I'm so excited to tell you about my new equipment. So with the inline microphone preamps, they actually will use power from my mixer to boost the signal 20 decibels higher without adding the noise of the microphones and the cables and the mixer and the recorder. It's all just very exciting to me. I'm a little bit of a tech nerd, but I don't really know a lot about technology and all the real knowledge needed for good audio engineering. So I'm just learning as I go. Anyway, those three changes, the boom arms, the new microphones, and the preamps, all should result in much easier editing. And then I'll be enjoying all the major parts of producing this podcast. Now, I don't know yet if this is all going to work the way I've hoped, because this will be the first episode that I've recorded with these major changes. So stay tuned. You'll find out in the next episode. Alright, the next thing I want to share with you is some information I learned in another podcast about podcasting, which I heard recently. And this podcaster was explaining that podcasters should let users or listeners know that there are share buttons in podcast players. So what this means, and when he said it, I was like, oh, I didn't know that. So I checked, and sure enough. So say you're listening to a podcast episode, and you wanted to, you know, tell a friend about it. Well, in most podcast players, however you're listening to it, there's probably just a couple buttons that you would need to press to go ahead and share that episode. So I checked in the app that I use. I use the Downcast app to listen to podcasts. And so I started playing it, just any podcast episode. And as I looked at my screen, yep, sure enough, right there at the bottom of the screen was a little box with an arrow in it pointing upwards. And when I tapped that, it brought up choices that I could send the episode to someone by email, by text, by Twitter, by Facebook. And then there's like a more button, but I didn't even tap it. I was like, okay, I get it. And then I checked the Apple Podcast app. So I just opened up an episode, started playing it. Yep. And sure enough, in the Apple Podcast app, there's like these three dots. And when you press that next to an episode, it brings up a menu. And one of the choices says, share episode. And so I tapped that. And sure enough, there were the choices. You could send the episode by email, text, Twitter, Facebook. So the podcaster, just kind of like what I did, explained how to, you know, access those buttons and what they do. And then the podcaster gave the advice that you should remind your listeners to do that in every episode. I was like, no way. I don't think anyone needs to be reminded to do that in every episode. But I liked the point of it because I didn't know that I could do that. And there have been episodes of podcasts I've heard and I've wanted to share them with people, and I thought, ugh, that'd just be too much of a hassle. So I did at minimum wanted just to tell you about that, because you can do that with any podcast. And then for my podcast, what I decided is I will only remind you about that once a month. All right, I received an email this week from Pepine, and you've probably heard me talk about Pepine before. He has sent me emails before, and I've talked about him in MetaChat. I'm not going to read his email in the podcast. I will tell you that his email was very sweet. It was kind. And it was lovely. I tend to read emails from listeners when they first write to me, because I see their emails as feedback being shared with the podcast rather than just me. Like, I see that feedback as property of the podcast. So I bring it back into the podcast. And then what happens with some listeners is they'll continue to email me their thoughts. And these emails start to feel less like listener feedback and more like chatting with friends. And their words have a deeper personal feel to me. So I guess all this rambling is just so I can say to Papine and others who send me lovely emails, thank you. I received another email from another listener, and this was the first time they had emailed me, but this person preferred me not to say their name or read their email, but they did give me the okay to share the spirit of their email, and I really do want to share it because they shared a concern with me, and I think it's a very good concern. They heard me say in a prior episode that I will not be doing any more non-English fade-outs, and they were bummed by this because they really liked them. Now, this is the only email I've gotten about this, about someone being bummed about that. But in these surveys, I've seen a few people who have selected the non-English fade-outs as some of their favorite fade-outs. So I know that this person is not alone, and I don't want you, for anyone that feels this way, to feel I think you're the only person that feels this way, and that I can just, dismiss you. I think your feedback reflects some feelings of several others. So for anyone who is new to the podcast in this episode, in prior episodes, I've shared the reasons which came from other listeners of why some of the non-English fade-outs I've done are not always relaxing for some listeners. And I think the reasons they gave were very good. So obviously now, this puts me into that, dilemma of how to please everyone. And I know, in general, that's a fruitless goal. It's hard to do. I don't know if it can be done. So I want to share that I have decided to stick by my decision of not doing any more non-English fade-outs in the weekly podcast. But I love to troubleshoot. Like, to me, this is just the situation of mic bumps in my recordings, and I just have to think strategically about how to solve this so it's beneficial. So I love troubleshooting, and I like thinking outside the box, and I'm not ready to say yet that, that there's no way that this can work for everyone. But I just got this email yesterday, and I've started thinking about some possible ways to do this, but I just need more time to think and investigate the options, and of course, weigh all the pros and cons. So, hopefully in the next episode, I'll at minimum have some kind of update and what I'm looking into, and maybe, you know, some decisions. But thank you for that feedback. I like a good challenge, and so I'll just keep thinking and see what I can come up with. Alright, next is a review I received on the US iTunes Store from Abby Aquarius, and it's two short sentences. Here's what Abby Aquarius wrote. So relaxing and helps me sleep. I love it. Well, thank you for your very kind review and for taking the time to do that. I feel like this episode is filled with, I was listening to a podcast about podcasting. Anyway, I was listening to a podcast about podcasting recently, and they say that a lot of people don't know where to go to write an iTunes review. So they're saying that podcasters should put a simple link in the show notes for them. And for that one, I got to pat myself on the back because I was already doing that. Alright, I think we're going to wrap up the meta chat with the comments from a survey. The update in general for the surveys, there were no new surveys last week, but that's okay because we're making our way through the comments for the completed survey so far, and I'm up to survey number 13. This comment is about why they enjoy the curious quote the most. So they selected curious quote as the section they enjoy the most. And they wrote two short sentences. It always makes me think. I love quotes. Well, I agree. I obviously love quotes too. I see quotes as like very condensed wisdom. It's like someone took a, you know, a paragraph or a page and just got it down to one helpful sentence. Sometimes I look at the title of a book and I get inspired without even reading the book. Like that's what it should be doing. Like if the title of the book is Champions Do Things Now, Not later. I don't need to read that book. I know what the point is going to be. Well, I'm sure if I read the book, it'd give me a lot of good suggestions and tips and helpful hints on how to do that. But it's like, yeah, that's true. Champions do things now, not later. All right. I need to stop procrastinating on things. Anyway, sometimes book titles are like quotes. The next question they gave a comment on is about which section they enjoy the least. And they enjoy the meta chat the least. And here's the comment they wrote. It's just one short sentence. I love it all. So I've kind of talked about this type of comment before, that it's very helpful to me. Because this person let me know, basically, that even though they selected the meta chat as the section that they like the least, they're not saying they hate it, but if I have to make them pick their least favorite, then this is it. You know, and which reminds me that I had the idea of putting in like a scaled response. So I have to keep thinking about that. Get that in there. Their next comments were about the weaknesses of the podcast. And here's the three sentences they wrote. Sometimes I feel like you are talking down to us, but I listen when I have time. I just started 5 nights ago. Ooh, this breaks my heart. Because I never mean to be talking down to you. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't feel that way to you. And I can see how it can feel that way, because in the curious quote, I'm sharing my sometimes there's strong opinions and perspectives, but these are about me and my weaknesses. I don't mean to project them onto you. I actually assume that most people in the world are wiser, more moral, and more evolved than I am. Definitely a work in progress, and I'm just trying to share that journey, but it's about me talking about myself, not, you know, what I think weaknesses of other people are. I hope that makes sense. The next question they shared comments about was the strengths of the podcast. and they shared, or they wrote, two sentences. I love quotes. I've never heard the fade outs because I'm asleep. Oh, this is great news. Not many podcasts would take it as a compliment when a listener says they fall asleep and don't hear the end of it. The opposite is almost bad news for me. If someone stays awake all the way to the end of the fade out, oh bummer. I feel like I failed. Hopefully, some of you, have no idea of what I say at the end of every episode. That'd be good news. And lastly, the last comment that I'll share from them is what they wrote in response to, "Are there any other thoughts you'd like to share about the podcast?" And this person wrote two sentences. This is the first podcast that has helped me fall asleep. I went back in the morning to hear your play in French. So this was curious. So then I was wondering, I wonder if they ended up liking the play in French or not liking it. So I scrolled through the other sections of the survey to see which of the fade outs they liked and they didn't like. And sure enough, they had selected the French reading as their favorite fade out. Now, I don't think this is the same person who emailed me yesterday. I mean, it could be, but like I kind of said before, is when I've looked through the data for the other surveys that have come in, there have been, you know, several, a minority, who have selected the French reading or the Spanish reading as one of their favorite fade-outs. It just highlights that some listeners do like the non-English readings, and that encourages me to think of something I can do that makes it win-win. I don't know if that's the right expression. It makes it, either makes it beneficial for some without making it detrimental to others. What is that, win-tie? I don't know. I don't know if that's win-win or win-tie. Win, no loss. I don't know. Well, thank you to the person who completed this survey. And if anyone else is interested in completing the survey, there is a link in the show notes and a link on the website. And now, for the fade out. This is where I give my best effort to help you to fall asleep. And tonight's fade out is kind of a continuation of last episode's fade out. In the last episode, I read a Wikipedia article about chocolate bars, and the article had a link to a huge list of chocolate bars and their descriptions, and I thought, oh, that would make a great fade out also. One, because I get to say the word chocolate bar over and over. And as I was reading the short description of each one, there's more delicious words in there. And it gives delightful imagery. And because it's a list, should have or could have kind of a hypnotic rhythm to it, which I think is also helpful for a fade out. Now it's time for the tuck in, and then I'll go straight into the fade out. So go ahead and start preparing to fall into a deep sleep. Turn your lights off. Turn the screen off of any mobile devices you have with you. Get your pillow or pillows into a comfortable position. Adjust your covers just the way you like them. To your side, if you'd like to sleep on your side, or lay on your back. Muscles in your legs fully relax. Let the muscles in your arms fully relax. Now allow your shoulders to fully relax. Allow your body to melt into your bed. Try to think of one good thing from today. Something good that happened to you. Something good someone did for you. Or something good you did for someone else. This will be the thought you will focus on if you find your mind wandering during the fade out. Now finally, relax your body fully. Focus your mind on that one good thought. And breathe in and out slowly. At a pace that feels relaxing and comfortable for you. Three Musketeers chocolate bar. Aerated chocolate flavored nougat with milk chocolate coating. Fifth Avenue chocolate bar. Honeycombed crunchy peanut butter candy center in milk chocolate. $100 grand chocolate bar. Caramel and crisped rice. Aero chocolate bar. Frothy chocolate. With bubbles. After 8 chocolate bar. Dark chocolate with mint cream filling. Albini chocolate bar. Chocolate with caramel waffle. Almond Joy chocolate bar. Milk chocolate covered coconut with whole almonds. Ashmelia chocolate bar. Chocolate with kiwi flavoring. Baby Ruth chocolate bar. Caramel and nougat center with peanuts in compound chocolate. Ballisto chocolate bar. Wesley covered in chocolate. Bar None chocolate bar. Turkish delight covered with milk chocolate. Bounty chocolate bar. Coconut filling covered with milk or plain chocolate. Breakaway chocolate bar. A rectangular digestive biscuit covered in milk chocolate. Bun chocolate bar. Caramel, maple, or vanilla centers covered with unsalted peanuts and milk chocolate. Butterfinger chocolate bar. Honeycombed crunchy peanut butter candy in milk chocolate. Cadbury fruit and nut chocolate bar. Milk chocolate with assorted fruits and nuts. Caramello chocolate bar. Segmented break apart bar with caramel center covered in milk chocolate. Caramilk chocolate bar. Caramel filled chocolate bar. Chai chocolate bar. Chai tea spices in milk chocolate. Cherry Humps chocolate bar. Two cherries on top of chocolate. Cherry Ripe chocolate bar. Cherry and coconut bits in chocolate. Chicken dinner chocolate bar. Chocolate covered nut roll. Chokito chocolate bar. Chocolate covered caramel fudge with crisped rice. Chocon chocolate bar. Chocolate bar with caramel flavor and chocolate layer. Coconut bar with chocolate layer. Chomp chunky chocolate bar, milk chocolate with peanuts and raisins. Clark bar, chocolate bar, honeycombed peanut butter filling, coated with chocolate, coffee crisp, chocolate bar, milk chocolate with wafer crisps and coffee flavoring. Cowtails chocolate bar. Chewy caramel wrapped around a rich, creamy center. Cri Cri chocolate bar, milk chocolate with crisped rice, crispy crunch chocolate bar, peanut butter and toffee mixture coated in milk chocolate. Crunch chocolate bar. Milk chocolate with crisped rice. Crunchy chocolate bar, honeycomb sponge toffee covered with chocolate, crunchy chocolate bar, rice crisps covered with chocolate, Cuban lunch chocolate bar, milk chocolate with peanuts, cup of gold chocolate bar, chocolate cup with a marshmallow center with almonds and coconut, curly whirly chocolate. Chocolate bar, chocolate over crisp toffee, Denver sandwich chocolate bar, multi-layer center consisting of nuts, caramel, and sugar wafer crisp, covered in milk chocolate. Double-decker face covered in milk chocolate. Dove chocolate bar. Creamy milk and dark chocolate with added varieties such as fruit. Drifter chocolate bar. Wafers and caramel in milk chocolate. Eat more chocolate bar. Mint.